In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this is an incredible story that we've just heard read, and it collects up many of the themes for Holy Week. One of the questions that I think is raised by this story is the question, why was it that Jesus had to die? Now, I probably can't fully answer that question with you this morning, but I'd like to take a little stab at part of it at least. Now, one time I was reading to little children from an Easter picture book. And when we got to the part about Jesus dying on the cross, I remember vividly a little sandy-haired, bright-eyed little girl named Jenny with tears in her eyes asking, "Why did Jesus have to die?" I struggled to explain this in terms that a four-year-old could comprehend, and about that time a little boy jumped up waving his hands and saying, "I know, I know." So I called on him and he said, "Jesus died so he could come back to life." And I thought about that for a moment and I realized, you know, that's good. Because if there had been no crucifixion, then there could not have been a resurrection. Well, that morning the kids listened to the rest of my story and it had a happy ending. Jesus cooking breakfast for the disciples on the beach. They liked that part. And so on their way out, they were all very excited to tell me that on Sunday the Easter Bunny was going to come. Now, although in our culture Christmas gets far more attention than Easter, and certainly many more retail sales, the real meaning of the Christian faith turns on the events of Good Friday and Easter. Fully one-third of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are devoted to these stories, and half of the Gospel of John. This story is crucial to the Christian faith. It's the crux of the matter, and I'm sure we all know that both those words mean cross. The meaning of the Christian faith turns on our understanding of the cross. Now, other philosophies and religions have their central meanings, but ours has to do with how it is that God transforms evil into good. Now, we can interpret this story in many ways. Excuse me. If we look at it from a strictly historical perspective, the real, actual human being, Jesus of Nazareth, during the AD 30s in Palestine, carried on a ministry which eventually came into conflict with the Roman authorities. Israel was a nation occupied and controlled by the Romans, and the Israelites, of course, didn't like it one bit. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, in AD 70, they attempted a rebellion against the Romans, with the result that their nation was completely destroyed. So this was the force that Jesus ran into. And even though Jesus preached peace, even though he had no political agenda, the Romans came to perceive him as a threat. Now, in the months and years following these events, church leaders, preachers, teachers, and theologians thought and wrote extensively about these events. And they kept trying to interpret what they all meant. And during that time, there came a distinction between what we might call the historical Jesus and the Christ of faith. One referring to the real person, the other referring to what it all meant. Now, back when I was in seminary, it was generally believed that the quest for the historical Jesus was over, that there wasn't much more we could learn about the real human being. Well, that's been shown to be false. There are more things we can learn, and that's a good thing. But certainly the great volume of writing over all the centuries and right up to the present has to do with the meaning of Christ. The central meaning of the resurrection, we believe, is that God reveals himself and reconciles himself to humans in the most complete way possible. But I know the story of the resurrection is next week's story. And while I would love to talk about that or be a barrel of laughs with you this morning, it's our task on this Sunday and through Holy Week to look at the unpleasant side, the dark side of the faith, before we get to the light and the happiness. So here are a couple of lessons that I think we can draw from Jesus' crucifixion. One, Jesus stood up for what was right. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. He faced death willingly, trusting God for the result. So, as we observe Good Friday this week, we will meditate on Jesus' courageous example and how faith led him to and through the cruelest death possible. How it all appeared to be a tragedy and a failure and an end, but how God transformed it all into good. And so we are grateful for Jesus' sacrificial death. And we call it the Passion, because he died out of a motive of great love. Now, a second and related lesson for us, I think, about Jesus' crucifixion is that sometimes we too are called upon to suffer for goodness and right. Shortly after Jesus, not long afterward, Stephen, Peter, and many other apostles were called upon to be martyrs of the faith. Even Saint Catherine of Alexandria was a martyr to the faith. As recently as World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a martyr. Martin Luther King was a martyr. And there were many, many others through all the years. Now, a few years ago, it seemed unlikely that Americans might ever be called upon to die for our faith. But in the past few years, things have changed. Events in the Middle East especially have caused Christians to indeed die for their faith. And in a similar way, whether we're called to die or not, and I hope we're not, sometimes we are called to speak out, to speak up, to say unpopular things because they're the truth and because they bring healing and justice. So we need to remember at times like this that nothing in this world of value is achieved without struggle and sacrifice. Now, a third lesson is that we, like Jesus, also may be called upon to suffer when we don't deserve it. I remember a woman in our church suffered the loss of a son, and then her husband, and then she herself contracted a major health issue. She kept asking, "What did I do to deserve this? Why me?" And she even left the church for a while. But to her credit, she came back. And when she came back, we could love her and support her and help her wrestle with these issues. The question was not, "Why do I deserve these things?" But rather, "Now that bad things have happened to me, how can I let God bring me through them and bring good out of them?" In my life, perhaps in yours, it's only in hindsight that I can look back and see what it was that God did. A fourth lesson for Lent and Good Friday is to look evil squarely in the face. I don't think any of us like to look at it. We'd rather cover it up or pretend it isn't so. I would. But we need to be clear about it. Evil occurs in all sorts of ways, too many to count. It may be disease sometimes. It could be an accident. Sometimes people steal from us. You'll indulge me. One time I went to a liquor store. Episcopalians can go to liquor stores, I guess. I guess we all know that, right? So there was a big kerfuffle up by the manager, and I didn't know what was going on, and I went up there, and the couple ahead of me left, and I said, "What happened?" And he said, that sweet young girl who was just here tried to steal a bottle of wine. I was just so shocked because she looked so sweet and young and innocent. But you know, I'm like that. Don't tell anybody, but I pretty much believe everything people tell me, and I always expect good from people. That could be dangerous sometimes. Sometimes financial institutions can carry on deceptive business practices. I've been shocked about that at times. And of course, we have war, and we have murder. So evil can occur sometimes just as a matter of misunderstanding. Someone misinterprets something someone says or attributes evil motives to someone else. It could be the cruel or thoughtless things one person says to or about another. I have come to believe that abuse can kill a person's spirit. So back to the question, why did Jesus have to die? And what does it teach us? Jesus had to die in order to face evil for what it was and to show God's resurrection power. Suffering and death may appear to us as meaningless, but Jesus' death and resurrection shows us that God is present to us through suffering and brings new life out of death. Evil does not have to have the last word, but God always has the last word. So we Christians should not shrink from evil, but face it and seek God's guidance. We trust God to bring us through suffering and even through death. We rejoice in God's resurrection power, turning suffering and evil into good. That's why we call it Good Friday and not Bad Friday. It's a prelude to our joy of resurrection on Easter Day. So may we all be brave enough to confront evil, and may we all experience God's presence guiding us through suffering, and may we experience the joy of resurrection and life. Amen.